Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Sustainababble 80.
80, 80, 80, 80, 80. Here we are, still doing it at 80.
Doing what?
We are your friendly little environment podcast, all about people and the planet and why, despite everything getting all gnawed, we are still here to have a laugh about it every now and then. Because if you don't do that, what you got?
Bugger all.
Bugger all is what you got. And what have we got coming up this week then?
Well, Dave, do you remember there was a nice cartoon character called Basil Brush?
Yes.
Yeah, and he was a...
Puppet.
Yes, depicting a...
Bell End.
In animal form...
Fox.
Right, thank you. Well, glad you mentioned foxes, because we're going to be talking about some mad idea, or is it, to repeal the hunting ban on foxes? Crikey Moses.
Heavens.
We are also going to be talking about, well, what happens if you don't clean yourself very much?
You get a job at an environmental charity.
Correct. And perhaps you should be using a brush.
A brush.
More. Because otherwise you'll get all diseasey and germy. And we're going to be talking about people who, like, hundreds of thousands of years ago didn't wash or use a brush and then got frozen. And now they're getting unfrozen and we're going to catch all their diseases. So it's a brush theme. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and you are now banned from doing puns. That's
come off it. I had two things to link between, and I managed to find a link that wasn't the word fox.
God, just the usual disclaimer. We do work for environmental charities, but these are very much our own views and Ol's own puns, for which I refuse to take any responsibility. If anything that comes out of our mouths you find anywhere near as appalling as Ol's puns or worse, get in contact with us, but not with anyone that we work for, because frankly they will disown him, as indeed I do. You're disowned.
Well, screw you. I think I scrub up very well in the pun department. So, in half time, this is the section of the show named after a senator in America, Jim Inhofe, who is an armpit.
Is he an armpit? Oh,
he's an armpit because he thinks climate change isn't real because there's still snow. So we've named this section of the show after him, and we call other people armpits for doing armpity things. Who's an armpit this week, Dave, and what have they done?
Well, this week's armpit of the week is a guy called Lord. It's a Lord. We're putting a Lord.
Good start.
Into Inhofe Corner. All the best things happen when you put Lords into Inhofe Corner. It's a Lord called Lord Mancroft.
Ooh, play the sexy Mancroft music, Dave. I've got a Mancroft for radio.
Yeah. Turn that off. So he is the chair of a thing called the Council of Hunting Associations, which is a bunch of people who like to shoot animals in the face, pretty much.
Friends of yours?
Well, no, but that's what they do. They hunt. They do hunting. He thinks hunting is a good thing. He is the conservative. He is the chair of it. And last week, according to the Daily Mirror, he wrote that basically the forthcoming expected massive landslide that the government is expected to get in the forthcoming election, what is happening, what is tedious, and what we will talk about separately another time.
Yeah, it's boring, yep.
That is basically your best chance for years and years and years to be allowed to shoot foxes in the face again. Because you ain't allowed to do it because it's banned. But he thinks you should be allowed to do it. And so he wants us to do it.
Right. So just to recap, you used to be allowed to ride around the countryside on a horse with a pack full of dogs and get those dogs to chase the little foxy, rip him apart. And that was fine until that nice Mr. Tony Blair, warmonger-in-chief Mr. Tony Blair, came along in 2004, I think, and said, no, we're going to ban that. You can't do it.
Yes.
And so what? Where are we? 2017. 13 years of not allowed to go around ripping foxes limb from limb. Later, it sounds like lots of Conservatives are still unhappy about that and want to overturn that ban. Is that what's going on here?
As far as I can work out, that is it. And basically, they've not been happy about it since day one, but they weren't the government. Then they were the horrible opposition, and now they are the government. And they got all upset about it because, right, who does hunting? Who is it? Who does it?
Well, it's not people who live in Walthamstow, as far as I know, and it's probably not people who live in Crystal Palace either.
No.
It's a country pursuit, isn't it? It's a bit like that grouse hunting we were talking about in a previous episode.
58, I think.
Is that?
No, I don't know that for sure. I think it might be 57. I know 57.
You're getting 57. All unsure.
57.
Stick with your convictions.
57.
All right. An episode before now. It's a country pursuit. It's very much tied up in the identity of country people. And they don't think that some country people.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't think that towny people or country people who disagree with them get it. And even less so should have a say in whether or not they do it. That's really what's going on here. And presumably the politics of it work quite nicely for a government looking to pick up lots of votes in those seats and say, well, you know, we'd let you do that if that's what you want to do.
That's right. So it was one of them things. It's for funny old businesses. So Tony Blair, right? You remember him, this guy.
Weak, weak, weak.
You remember Tony Blair, right?
I do remember Tony Blair.
International warmonger, enemy of the left. You remember him, that
ID
guy.
Cards.
Labour Party, you remember that thing?
Yeah, I remember a different Labour Party. Yeah.
Yes. So he banned it. He didn't. He says, though, he wrote in his book, and he said about it after he wrote his memoirs, he said, I didn't mean to do that. And if I had meant... Yeah, he's like, I didn't mean to do that. Oops.
I didn't mean to do the ban. He didn't mean to ban fox hunting. Yeah. That massive controversy that dominated the political landscape for a year or two under his leadership.
Says he didn't mean to do it. I think he was on Question Time or something like that, and he was asked, do you support a ban on fox hunting?
Is this in 2004?
Like, before that.
Okay.
So he'd signed some parliamentary petition basically saying, I don't agree with fox hunting, didn't think anything of it. Then he was asked in some public forum, I think it was Question Time, are you going to ban fox hunting? And he just said, he reckons, yeah, ban that. And then went back to government.
He knows how politics and, like, public life work.
Bloody does now.
Yeah.
And it's now my not inconsiderable pleasure to call upon Sir Geoffrey Norman to open this exhibition. Sir Geoffrey.
No. What you have to understand is that I'm not going to open this thing of yours, whatever it is. I'm not going to open it for you. I'm not going to open it for anybody.
Yes, we went back to government and he said, like, to, I think it was Jack Straw, whoever it was in charge of shooting animals in the face at that point. He said...
They do have a ministry for shooting animals in the face, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They do. They do. And he said, I think I've just done a bad thing. I might just have committed us to banning fox hunting. And I think the conversation went, you've done what?
Hi there, Bleep Machine. Do you know, somebody commented on our last babble saying it's rather sweary, and I took that as a compliment.
Absolutely.
But, you know, apologies if we haven't been sweary enough in the past. We're trying to rectify that now.
So, okay, you grew up... Let me ask you some stuff, right? You grew up in the countryside, yes?
Correct.
You are, like, middle posh. You're not, like, super posh, but you're not dirt either. You're somewhere in the middle, right?
Give me some, like... marker points.
Crikey. The leader, the name of the former leader of UKIP. Surname.
Nigel Farage.
Say the place that you put your car.
Garage.
Yeah, you're pusher, right? So, it's a thing I don't know, right? I lived in the People's Republic of North Somerset for a little bit, lived in the countryside a bit, right? But even that weren't real countryside.
No, that was a retirement home.
That was a retirement home. To what extent, actually, were the people that are all upset about fox hunting posh? Because that's your image. Your image is Hooray Henrys on horses with red coats and loads of dogs trampling all over people's fields going blah, 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 and shooting a fox in the face or putting a dog and getting that dog to put a fox in the face. But then sometimes some of the stuff you see says, oh, no, it's oh, everyone does fox hunting. So tell me.
Well, I don't know. I've never been involved in, you know, a community that's done it, so I can't say with any great insight what it's actually like on a hunt. But I do remember at the time the prevailing sense not being one of, like, you leave us posh people alone. It was more, you leave us countryside people alone because you're all metropolitan sofa Islington types. Because that, yeah, there was that sense that they decided all of their policies on the sofa, wasn't it? It was just like Blair and Mandelson and Alistair Campbell, and that was basically it. And I think there was this was a huge symbol of that kind of perceived meddling from the Westminster elite, you know, before everyone said Westminster elite, in affairs that had nothing to do with them. And I'd also remember people saying, like, why are we suddenly having a law on this? You know, okay, there might be a right and a wrong about it, but it's hardly the big issue facing the country. And, you know, why aren't we talking about hospitals or schools or trains or whatever, or, you know, even, perish the thought, the environment? And that was, I think, the overriding sense. Like, hang on a minute, it's just these new yuppie new Labour types are just coming to get us, and they didn't like it.
I once had a whim and I had to obey it, to buy a French horn in a second-hand shop. I polished it up and I started to play it, in spite of the neighbours who begged me to stop.
But, right, I mean, the reason I ask is that 49% of people in the countryside now, in opinion polls, support the ban on fox hunting, with like 33% not sure. So it's like, even in the countryside, it's not like this is the dominant view of loads of people in the countryside. So, and even like, you know, there are plenty of people living in the countryside who do not have the wherewithal and the resources to sit on horses and go around and get a dog to bite a fox in the face, right? I accept that it, like, you know, one of the arguments here is, oh, well, loads of, you know, the dog kennels and all the people who work in that and all the people who make the saddle the horses, and it's an economic thing. But like, I don't think it's one of things, for all that, like, it was seen as an attack on the countryside way of life, kind of, but it was basically an attack on people like you's way of life. Not that you did it, but you take my point.
Well, let's talk about whether or not it should be banned, because it seems to me that it's not a very nice practice. People make all sorts of arguments about it, don't they? That actually this is pest control, because farmers lose livestock to foxes. I don't know, is there an argument that they spread disease? Is that a thing?
I'm sure someone makes one. Don't know about that. I was looking into this because I do some research. And there are three arguments that I can see that are used. No, four arguments that are used for why this ban should be got rid of, right? Number one is that, like you say, foxes are vermin or pests, so they go around and like kill chickens and lambs and that sort of thing, which I'm pretty sure can be dealt with by like putting an electric fence around your chickens and something to do with lambs. Don't know about lambs. Right, so the second one is it's traditional, so like you're destroying our way of life. How dare you, all the stuff, you know, how dare you come here with your highfalutin ties and your shoes and your hair
and your frappuccinos, your
tarmac, and telling us how to do things. Then there's an argument that says, well, but what about all the dogs? You know, we get rid of the hunting, we got rid of all the dogs. And then there's an argument that, which is, you know, probably, to be honest, one of the better arguments, which is the one that goes, actually, this ban is completely bloody stupid and pointless, because in practice, everyone still does it anyway.
Well, you were digging up figures before this. You know, there's what been like 450 arrests in those 12 years, £5,000 fines issued to those people, but in Scotland, zero arrests, I think. And, you know, countless hunts going on. And the hunting still goes on. They've found loopholes, as always you do. So, if you take a falcon with you, it's all right, because technically it's falconry rather than
you're allowed to use dogs to, like, flush out things for falcons to chase, but you can't use dogs to flush out foxes for horses to chase. So people have been going on hunts just with a falcon, going, no, falconry, mate, falconry. falconry officer.
That falcon's upside down but still attached to your finger. Is that alive? Yep.
Don't you come here telling us about our town ways.
Country falcon, they hang upside down.
No, it's not dead, it's resting.
Resting?
Yeah. Remarkable bird, the Norwegian blue. Beautiful plumage, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's, I do have a certain amount of sympathy with that. It seems like a ridiculous thing to even attempt to legislate for, even though my personal view is that, yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to go and hunt a fox with a pack of dogs and rip it limb from limb while it's still alive. That, for fun, that seems that seems unkind.
Yeah, and all the stuff about, oh, it controls pests. Well, sort of, but I'm pretty sure there's more efficient ways of doing it than saddling up a horse and wearing a red hat and getting 25 exactly. of your poshest mates and 19 of your most salivating dogs and riding for 4 hours across other people's land and then finally sitting there and then when it's all been chopped up going, well, that'll teach you vermin. I'm pretty sure there's more efficient ways of doing it than that.
And but you can't you can't have it both ways because you can't, on the one hand, say this sustains loads of economic activity, it generates lots of cash, you know. Well, that is another way of saying it's quite expensive, you know, lots of money is spent on this. But then on the other hand, say it's a very efficient way.
And also it's the people, it's for the people, it's for the people, it's for the people. It's not posh people, it's for the people, right? But yeah, well, that's the thing. So something like 45,000 people are estimated to still hunt, right? 250,000 people still take part in this thing called the Boxing Day hunt. I think it happens on Boxing Day all over the place, but everyone gets doled up to the nines and goes and does hunting and stuff. And although officially these are like known as drag hunting, which is allowed, where you're just dragging the scent of something over a field and chasing it, like if a fox happens to get in the way of a hunt, there's no one checking that. And there's like, you know,
and presumably it's quite hard to say to the dogs, no, don't chase that fox that's just emerged because that's not the one we came out here looking for, because we didn't come out here looking for one at all. Dogs, come back here. Oh, you're programmed to kill and you don't listen to me and my horn.
Oh dear, well, I guess we better all follow you now for 3 hours over there. And no one's out there checking. You know, in the RSPCA, you spent ages and ages and ages, like, bringing prosecutions and stuff, spending huge amounts of money trying to get this stuff to stick. They commissioned a report from a famous police officer guy's name I forget, who basically he went back to
PC Basil Brush.
He went back to him and he said, the problem with it, like, this is an unenforceable law. Not only is it an unenforceable law, but it's one that, like, risks, it's worse than having it, because, like, people are actively flouting a thing, and therefore what's the point of a law that you know you can break? You may as well, it's like worse than having had it in the first place.
As in, like, it undermines the whole idea of having laws.
Right,
okay. So the reason we're talking about this at all is because this chap, Lord Mancroft, said, you know, he reckoned that with
Mancroft.
Mancroft. Oh, it's a lovely word to say.
Roll around your mouth, isn't it?
Anyway, Lord Mancroft said that, you know, with enough Tory MPs, we could probably get this overturned, because not all Tories support hunting. You know, plenty of them oppose it. But the idea is that, yeah, with enough, you could probably get it overturned. And then Theresa May, current Prime Minister, and asking the country to let her be boss again, said, yeah, no, I'd probably overturn it as well.
Well, she said she supports it. She said she actively supports fox hunting.
Look, this is a situation on which individuals will have one view or the other, either pro or against. As it happens, personally, I've always been in favour of fox hunting.
But look, let me ask you a thing, right? Let me ask you a thing about the Tories, right? Now, we are a politically neutral podcast.
We are
a politically neutral podcast. We think they're all bastards.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So my question is this, right? This smells like onshore wind to me.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. We are in a very small room together and I've had a long day.
By which I mean, right, the opinion polls on fox hunting, 84% of the British population think that fox hunting should stay banned. Right. And a smaller percentage than even 16% actively think it should be unbanned. Right. Onshore wind, what is it, 80%, 70%, 80% of the UK
public?
Yeah,
and it's going up. It's higher than it's ever been.
Think we should have it. But the Tories have said, no, we're not having it because it's unpopular. But it's not unpopular. It's only unpopular against a very small sort of person, which is basically posh people who have nice views or posh people who ride horses and like biting dogs in the face.
No, they're not necessarily small people, though, are they?
No, they're big people. But this is the thing. Like, how come the Conservatives are pursuing things that isn't, like, popular, but is appealing? How come they're doing it just to appeal to a very sort of small selection of people and getting away with it?
Well, presumably because it's targeted quite sort of neatly. You know, they're looking at a particular noisy population in, usually in the kind of shires in rural England, and they want to make sure that they feel like the Tories are on their side. So they're just, you know, making sure they hear about these things. That's all I can think of. But I don't really get it in this election, because everyone's saying, you know, it's not going to be close. Like, they're, you know, they're running away with it. It'll be fine. But, you know, I suppose no one can look at what's happened in America and in this country. Everyone was saying Trump wouldn't get elected. Everyone was saying Brexit wouldn't happen. And those things did happen. So, yeah, maybe Theresa May and her team are being sensible by really, really going for the things that they think sort of traditional Tory voters will go for.
I think it does also
does
show...
anyone, I've got an interesting question. Does anyone who's not in the Tory party... like Fox Hunting.
Oh, there's
are there any Labour MPs that like Fox Hunting?
What's her name?
Any SNP?
I mean, there are a handful of people. There's what's her name? There's that Labour MP who likes all those Tory things.
Oh, what, Kate Hoey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So she likes...
Who's in Vauxhall? Right. Who's in the, like, yeah. I don't think there's much Vox Hunting in Vauxhall.
But here's the thing, though, right? Also, right? Militant vegan rant coming up.
Yeah,
right?
I thought it might. Yeah.
I play the militant vegan rant music, Cole.
If you check out women while out for a jog, I will never call you a dog. I respect you and dogs.
Don't use dog as an insult. If you complain that we're not rich, I will never call you a bitch. I respect you and female dogs. Don't use bitch as an insult.
You'll love it. Thanks again to Rosemary Harris for alerting us to that.
So look, I am a militant vegan, right? And what I'm going to say now may upset and shock you and will probably cause me enemies, right? But here's the thing, right? So let me be clear. Should fox hunting be banned? Yes.
Sound like a politician. You're asking yourself questions that you want to answer.
Are you going to shut up and listen? Yes. Should fox hunting be banned? Yes. Now that it's banned, should it stay banned? Yes. If it's a crappy law, should we make it better rather than get rid of it? Yes. Is it wrong to go and knock the block off a fox just because you like it? Yeah. Right? So that's not in question. But from an animal point of view, right, I just wish people spent a fraction of the effort they get upset about the poor little fluffy foxy, poor little orange Mr. Fantastic Mr. Fox getting pursued, and like didn't just then go home and shove factory farm chicken in their face, right? Because it's just like, I sympathise a bit with Tony Blair's thing of going like, oh God, like, was this really worth all of that hassle? I mean, it is from a point of view of, you know, let's ban horrible stuff happening. Yeah, but I mean, imagine if he put that much effort to, like, I know, foxes
who are alive now would agree that it was worth the effort.
I know, and I don't want to suggest it wasn't, but couldn't we send a bit of that energy? Like, people are massive hypocrites, basically. The number of sort of people who would go, oh, poor little foxy, and then just go and eat factory farm chicken and not think about it. Hypocrites.
Yeah. Yeah, well, obviously you're right. Obviously people are massive hypocrites, but I don't think hypocrisy is a reason to therefore say, well, you're not allowed to support the ban on fox hunting because you don't...
What did you say not allowed? I mean, it's good. I'd rather you were a hypocrite a bit than I just gave up.
Well, that's the point. And, well, I think people do make a distinction in their minds between killing things for fun and killing things for a function. Now, whether or not you think it's ever okay to kill animals is a separate question, but I think a lot of people will say, well, I do think it's okay to kill animals to eat, and I do think it's okay to kill animals to make into shoes and belts. I don't think it's okay to just go and chase animals for fun and then let your dogs rip them limb for limb for fun.
Have you got the names and addresses of those people?
But I think, you know, that is the British are sort of known to be kind of...
murderous.
Yes, I know you're... There we go. I'm an innocent vegan. But there is the perception that they're animal lovers. You know, we have lots of pets, blah, blah, blah. We, you know, we spend thousands of pounds keeping our little household pets alive. And they don't like kind of wanton cruelty, do we? That is the perception. So I think people do make that distinction. And then there's, you know... Well, what do you want? Do you want people to have the kind of only purest intentions and say, don't go and support bans on fox hunting unless you're prepared to put down your burger and stop wearing shoes? And
no, you know, I'm allowed to wear shoes.
Or do you want people who do those things to also not? You know, not support cruel practices.
No, I know. I just find it, I'm just being a militant vegan about it. All right, leave it alone. Oh, just the pet thing, right? So I invite everyone who's out there thinking about, is it all right to use animals for shoes? Just think about, is it all right to use my dog for shoes?
You haven't got a dog.
No, I know I don't, but if you've got a dog, just, it's just so, oh, it doesn't, you know what? It doesn't matter. Let's move on with it. Come on.
Things that make you go, Jesus, shitting! Oh, God!
S- So, things that make you go, Jesus, shitting Christ, oh God, we're all going to die. It's another one.
Hooray.
We could just do a whole podcast on this because we are screwed.
Yes.
What have we got this week that's making us go all funny in the tummy and soggy in the body?
Well, literally, that is what's going on, because what's happening is there's a whole load of frozen lurgy out there, Ol. There is a huge...
What?
There's a huge amount of frozen lurgy, right? What it is, you know how you're like, what, about 24 years old, something like that, right? Before you were born...
I am considerably older than I look, and wiser than my years.
And you haven't slept for about 6 months either, which would probably have a large part to do with it. Before you were born, there were some more people. And before those people, there were more people. And before those people, there were more people.
Get on with it.
And a long, long, long time ago, there were some people called like Neanderthals, who lived before humans, before Homo erectus. And they had lurgies, right? But that's all right, because they're horrible lurgies, like things like knob rot and cheese face, right?
Please, please warn me if you're going to say things like that.
and they died, and they took the lurgies with them, and then like they got covered in earth, and then the earth got covered in a thing called permafrost, which is like permanent frost, right?
Clever.
Yeah, in places like Siberia.
Which genius came up with that portmanteau?
Russian. Fine, no problem. Neanderthals dead, taken lurgies with them, in the Tupperware, under the ground. No problem, right? Except stuff ain't staying frozen anymore, is it?
No.
No. Cause?
Well, climate change. Yeah. So, how like everything's melting, like glaciers are melting and ice caps are melting and things are getting hotter. Well, that includes permafrost in which, Neanderthals are buried.
Yes.
And the thing about ice is that it preserves things. So if you got dead and then buried in, a hot bit of the country, just a couple of feet under the ground, you'd get eaten by the worms and that'd be that. But not so if you died in a cold place in like the Ice Age or whenever. This is probably pre-Ice Age. And the point is that they were preserved and now they're getting melted, which means that the lurgies didn't die. They were just frozen.
Yep.
And are now waking up.
Pathogenic viruses, some of which may have caused global epidemics in the past, says Jean-Michel Clavery off of France, talking in The Independent, right? And what's happening is humans are going along and going like, oh, that's nice, I can dig on that bit of earth now and plant my begonias. I didn't do that before. And then like they do that and they put the spade in and then it's like, and he's like, these horrible big lurkies come out, right? And where's the understatement of the week, Oh?
This is, I mean, there are understatements and then there's this. We're gonna give Arabella some work that is slightly beyond her usual brief. This is not Sustainababble of the Week. This is understatement of the century.
If the pathogen hasn't been in contact with humans for a long time, then our immune system would not be prepared. So yes, that could be dangerous.
so yes, that could be dangerous. I mean, a global sort of pandemic of a disease we've never encountered evolutionarily. Yeah, I'd say that could be dangerous. Congratulations, Mr. French person. You have definitely won understatement of the century. So that is just about it for another episode of Babble. 80 around the world in 80 babbles. Thank you, Dave, for your magnificent vegan militism.
Welcome.
Militantism? Militantism. And for generally being wonderful. Thank you, too, to the lovely Arabella for reading out Understatement of the Century. Oh, exciting new feature.
Thank you, as always, to the legendary Dickie Moore for the music that starts and ends and intertwinkles this here podcast. And thank you, listener, for listenifying. And if you enjoyed what you listenified, you can get in touch with us at The Babble Wagon on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. Just search Sustainababble or drop us an email to hello@sustainababble.fish.
Sustainy babble. Oh, talking of which, we are massive in Denmark.
Are huge in Denmark.
So the best thing that ever happened to this podcast, we got a really lovely write-up by some Danish sort of sustainability types, and it was all written in Danish, and we had to do a Google Translate of it, and Google Translate is brilliant. So it said things like, Sustainababble is about climate change and those who do not believe them, seasoned with a giant plate of rude British humour.
Very good.
That was genuinely lovely. Thank you very much, lovely Danish people.
Thank you, Danish people. We will be back next week. In the meantime, have a splendid time all. Careful where you dig for them begonias. Mm. And don't go around and chase an innocent animal until it dies of fear and then you rip its throat out.
I will try not to, but I'm not making any promises.
Fine.
Bye!
Bye!